Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Shift Church. It's lovely to have you with us here today. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Wellington with St. Catherine's Item. And who have we got with us this evening? Who'd like to say hello first? Lynn, do you want to say hello?
Hello.
Hello. Emmy?
Hi, I'm here. Also, Liz Carter is here as well on the stream. I will tell you if anybody else says hi. So, yeah.
That'd be great. And Sean, do you want to say hi?
Hello. Hello to everybody. Hope everybody's all right.
Sean said, I'm not going to cast aspersions on whether Sean was speeding down the M54 this evening, but Sean has done a great job in getting home from work, bolting through his tea. He's still halfway through his can of Vimto and here with us this evening to be part of the crew on screen tonight, which is great. Yeah, we're very, very impressed.
Sandra says hi, and Sarah says hi as well. So hi to both of those.
Ah, good to have you all with us.
And my mum from Tenerife is here, my biggest fan. Yay!
Yay! 2 weeks on the trot.
I know.
Start doing loyalty cards or something.
Ellie's here as well. Hi, Ellie.
Lovely. They're all
probably got better weather than us.
I wonder if anybody's watching from being away on half-term holiday. How's half-term going for you guys, Emmy?
Well, it's not really much of a holiday. I'm very busy at work, so they'd only give me one day off. But me and Hannah have some spooky science experiments planned tomorrow morning.
Wow.
So at High Arkle Village Hall, so that should be good. I don't know what that'll be like, but I'm looking forward to it.
So if we hear explosions coming from the direction of High Arkle, we know that it went really well.
That's it, yep.
There you go. Lovely. That's
all. I have warned them, we're the kind of family that like to blow up things in our back garden. So, yeah. So.
Oh, somebody's phone is going. That's exciting.
Oh, I think that's still mine. I'm going to put it on another.
Are you struggling to work out how mute works, Emmy?
Yes.
You can do that on video, but for the people listening on the podcast, you pulling sad faces isn't going to do any good.
Oh, sorry. That was my sad face. I've got it sorted now. We're good to go.
Nobody's actually contacted me and said they've listened to this on podcasts. And it struck me last week, having said this, that people might not know how to find us. This is uploaded, or this is catalogued on all the major podcast things. So if you've never done podcasts before, but you do use iTunes or Spotify to listen to music, if you go onto your normal Spotify thing and search for Shift Church at All Saints, it should come up. And similarly on iTunes, and then you can download it to your phone and listen to it when you're out and about. And if you're a seasoned seasoned podcast person, then you can download it using any of the normal podcast streaming services. Does any of you guys listen to podcasts?
No.
Yeah. I do.
Obviously, wrong age.
What podcast do you listen to then, Sean?
What have I listened to recently? Well, actually, the last one I listened to was Book of the Week on Radio 4 with Pam. Mm. So, yes, we did that. That was the last one I listened to.
Yeah, you can probably get that through BBC Sounds app, don't you?
Yes.
We're not on BBC Sounds. We're not that good.
Oh, okay.
Sarah says she's listened to us via Spotify, so she's the teacher's pet today.
Very good, yeah.
Oh, that's encouraging, because I haven't had any emails again from last week from our wide and varied audience of people who listen to us in the week. So Sandra still holds the record for having sent us an email. So maybe we ought to do prizes for people who send us emails.
And my mum says David's got all the chocolate.
And my mum says she likes to listen to History Hits with Dan Snow.
Oh, and what podcast do you use?
I guess that's a podcast. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a Christian one, but
it'd be interesting to know if that she can access this through the same podcast software she uses for that, so we can see if it's getting out there like I thought it was.
Lindsay, who's one of my old Sunday school folk, I say hi to her. She's listening as well today. Sent us lots of hearts for that. And so is Elizabeth. I guess she's probably a Liz though, or Lizzie. So hi to her too.
Great stuff.
Is that Liz Wright?
There's all kinds of Liz's. There's more Liz's than you can shake a stick at. I'm married to one and my sister is one. How confusing is that? Before my sister got married and after we got married, there were two Liz Carters.
Oh, crikey.
There you go. Aren't anymore.
Could be embarrassing.
Yes.
With letters.
No, we managed to work that round that. Anyway, it's really lovely to see you all. Please do contribute. And to, for those who are listening on podcast in the week, I'm sure there's some of you. Lovely for you to have dialed in. Do comment on the Facebook stream. Join in as we go through. It's not just us four on the screen. It's all of us together. If you want to email in, it's tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Email in the week will include your reflections and your thoughts in next week's service. So really good to have you all with us. Shall we just take a moment to breathe? Because Sean's had to bolt his tea down. We've all had to switch something on, whether it's our device or our computer. What kind of day have you had? What kind of day are you in the middle of if you're out and about now? Take a moment just to breathe and have a little bit of quiet as we share the screen. We're going to have some worship music. So here we go. Once I can set up the things correctly.
Hi to David Sims as well. Apparently he's on leave, so he intends to cause mischief. Don't know what that means, Tim. We'll look forward to that on the comments.
I'm so glad. Right, let's have this then.
Upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait, upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong
week you've had, but sometimes I feel like I do need bearing up on those wings like eagles. Bit of God supporting us. It's good to be reminded of that. So this evening we're continuing our series thinking about loving our neighbours. We've thought about being welcoming and accepting and hospitable and sharing our faith, and tonight we're thinking about making disciples. So we've got a couple of Bible readings. Sean, could you read yours first, I think?
Okay. Yeah, I'm reading from Matthew 28, verse 16, and it's the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going for the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age."
Thank you. Lynn, what have you got for us? A bit of Timothy?
Yeah. The second reading's from 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, and this is from the Contemporary English Version. "Timothy, my child, Christ Jesus is kind, and you must let him make you strong. You have often heard me teach. Now I want you to tell these same things to followers who can be trusted to tell others. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must endure your share of suffering. Soldiers on duty don't work at outside jobs. They try only to please their commanding officer. No one wins an athletic contest without obeying the rules. And farmers who work hard are the first to eat what grows in their field. If you keep in mind what I have told you, the Lord will help you understand completely. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. He was from the family of David and was raised from death, just as my good news says. And because of this message, I am locked up in jail and treated as a criminal. But God's good news is not locked up in jail. And so I am willing to put up with anything. Then God's special people will be saved."
Amen. Thank you very much. So, should we have a little look at this, another think about this, as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word? May we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, so in this reading, first reading that Sean read, which is right at the end of Matthew's account of Jesus' life, we hear Jesus and he's coming to us. If you're looking at it in your Bibles or your phones or whatever, Sean, you can tell us this. It was right at the end of Matthew, isn't it, pretty much?
Yes.
Are those the last verses of Matthew?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so this is pretty much the last thing Jesus says to his followers before he goes off to heaven. These are his famous last words, if you like. And what does he say? He says, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them to do everything I've commanded you." So that was the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples, to go out into the world, baptizing and teaching everything I commanded you. And it's almost like we're at the end of a 2,000-year chain down the ages. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that to those disciples who then taught some more people that they met to do everything that Jesus had commanded them to do. And one of the things Jesus had commanded them to do was to go and make disciples, which meant teaching other people to do it. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, well, we don't have to make disciples because Jesus said that to those people 2,000 years ago. But one of the things he told those people to do was to teach other people to do what Jesus told them to do. And so that chain goes down the ages all the way to us, and it's landed with us now.
Mm.
There you go.
No question.
So that command's come down 2,000 years to us to go making disciples. But if we're going to do that, it seems to me that it's quite important to know what a disciple is.
Definitely.
Does anybody else watch Bake Off?
Is it like Bake Off being a disciple?
You know the Bake Off technical challenge, those of you who do watch it, you know the Bake Off technical challenge?
Yes.
Yeah.
So those of you who don't watch Bake Off, in Bake Off it's a baking competition, and there's three things that the competitors have to do each week, and one of them is a technical challenge where they're given a recipe that they haven't been able to practice. And more often than not, it's a really obscure type of bun or cake or something that most of the contestants have never even heard of, never mind seen. So the ones that have seen it, who have heard it, who know what it's meant to look like when they finished, are at a distinct advantage. And it's a bit like that with it's a bit like that with making disciples. If we don't know what it's meant to be, then how are we meant to make one? That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm a bit worried now because I'm rubbish at following a recipe. So
it's all good.
I always have my own magic ingredient I want to add in. So yeah.
And I do.
So anyway, in simplest terms, a disciple is someone who follows. And a disciple of Jesus is someone who follows Jesus. And that's not just thinking that Jesus was a good teacher or a holy man or that he said some radical stuff that we quite like, but a disciple is actually someone who follows Jesus, whose whole way of life and thought is reshaped and remade by following Jesus and his commands. It's quite a big ask, really. And Paul's picks this idea up because Jesus said, didn't he? He said, teach them to do everything I've commanded you. So it's like, teach them to do what I told you and then go on down the chain. And we get exactly the same in Paul. In the second verse, in the version I've got, it says, can you read the second verse again, actually, Lynn? Because like, yours would fit even better than mine does.
Sorry, got the wrong glasses on.
Oh, dear. Here we go. I'm causing confusion here.
Well, this is particularly small print in this Bible, actually.
There you go.
The second verse.
Yeah.
You have often heard me teach. Now I want you to tell these same things to followers who can be trusted to tell others.
Ta-da! It's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Teach other people what I've taught you so that they can go and teach other people.
Yeah.
And then Paul gives some examples. Oh, I'm going to try sharing my screen again for those of you who are watching. Here we go.
Oh, gosh.
What have we got here? Can you hear me?
Yeah, can see you. Yeah. There's a picture with some soldiers on it.
We got a soldier.
Just gave it away, Em.
Same soldiers from last week, is it, Tim?
Pardon?
Same soldiers from last week.
Yeah. But not from last week. I don't think we did soldiers last week. Maybe we did. Anyway, they're definitely soldiers. And Paul uses the example of soldiers. Soldiers who have to train, have to practice their skills. And if a soldier just does what they think's best, then they end up causing chaos. Soldiers all running in different directions. The soldier has to focus on the commanding officer's instructions. The whole team has to work together, the whole squad, following the captain's directions so that they can do what they need to be doing. And they face difficulties and pain and all kinds of things, but they do that to see right prevail, to reach their goals. Now, what or who helps people become better soldiers?
Holy Spirit.
No, I mean, that's been getting very spiritual. No, no, soldiers. These soldiers, who help these guys become soldiers?
Drill sergeant.
Yeah. I'm sure not all drill sergeants are like the ones in Officer and a Gentleman or Platoon. I'm sure there are some good drill sergeants out there.
I'm thinking more Dad's Army, actually, but yeah.
And we've seen Heartbreak Ridge, Clint Eastwood.
Yes. No, but I bet my dad has. He's probably screaming at the screen now.
He's a brilliant drill sergeant. He really knocks them into shape. Yeah. He's not one of these like really sadistic ones. He's a great, he's good. So someone in these guys in their early years in boot camp trained them up to be soldiers. So there we go. What have we got here?
We've got two athletes.
We've got some athletes here.
Yeah.
And it's a similar thing with athletes. I mean, Paul uses the example of athletes again. Folk who have to train, because if they don't put the training in, if they're doing, even if it's amateur running, doing marathons and that kind of thing, they get into a lot of pain. If they turn up at the, these two are both Olympic athletes, they turn up at the Olympics not having done any training, they're not going to win anything, are they? No.
No.
But they put the effort in and the energy in, and they do things by the rules so that they can win the medals, win the victor's crown, as Paul would put it. So the same question, who helps these guys become better athletes?
The trainers.
Yeah, so they have trainers and coaches, don't they? Kind of cheering them on. I always love watching the high jumpers and the long jumpers and the pole vaulters after they've done a jump. They go and do this funny kind of sign language to their coach. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Or is it just me?
No, I agree with you. I concur.
How far back off the board did I take off? Should I change my grip? What's going wrong? Why did that go wrong? And there's sign language back and they try and work it out between them. So there's kind of help on the day in the kind of competition itself. And then there's the day-to-day training and that kind of thing. Slightly weird thing that tennis players aren't allowed to have coaches coach them, are they? They get in trouble if there's messages going back and forth from the coach's box, I think. Anyway, what was Paul's other example? Who else have we got?
Farmers,
hard-working farmers who've done the weeding and the planting, done everything at the right time, followed the rules, when things need to be planted, how they need to be fertilised, all that kind of stuff. And if they do all that, they get a crop, which then feeds other people, which is great. And I wonder who taught these farmers how to work their land. Anybody here do any gardening?
Me.
Yeah.
Who taught you to garden?
My mum taught me how to garden.
Yeah,
definitely. I think it's often a thing that's passed down for families, isn't it? Particularly farmers, I guess.
Yeah.
I would say at the time Paul was writing, it would be families, because there were many, well, practically everybody had to be a kind of a farmer if they wanted to eat.
Yeah.
Nowadays, not so much. It wasn't. Who taught me to? I'm still learning. Any gardener will tell you. You're still learning.
Yeah, I still ring my mum up and say, what's this plant? What should I do about this? And when she comes to visit, we go for a little tour around the garden. And she tells me what I ought to be doing. But yeah, it's quite often a family thing going on it. So we've got...
Like mine.
We've got three kind of walks of life here. But in all three of them, all three examples that Paul uses, there's a right way of doing things. It takes effort and dedication. There's a reason for doing it, a goal. And each of them who has other people, whether it's a drill sergeant, whether it's a coach, whether it was their mum and dad, put people in their families who help them get better at it. So, that's what a disciple is. It's someone who follows, who knows that there's a goal worth pursuing. In this case, a disciple of Jesus, following Jesus, puts the effort and the dedication into it, who knows there's a reason for doing it, and who has people who help them do it. And this is where this making disciples comes in. We, for each other and to other people, are that coach, that encourager, that sometimes it's our parents, sometimes it's someone who feels a bit like a drill sergeant, sometimes it's a friend, different kind of ways of thinking about encouraging other people, building each other up and helping each other get better at being a follower of Jesus. So that's what a disciple is. But how do you make one? Even when they're doing the technical challenge on Bake Off and they have heard of what it is, they aren't always great at making one, especially when the instructions are a bit sparse, because they're given the, for those of you who don't watch Bake Off, the technical challenge, they're given this recipe to follow. And last week, my favourite bit was make the choux pastry. Ooh. And that was it. That was the entire instruction for that section of the recipe. Now, I know what choux pastry is. I've eaten choux pastry. And I think I've even made it once or twice. But I couldn't do it now without a recipe in front. Anybody here reckon they could make choux just with the instructions, make the choux pastry?
One of them really tricky ones.
I've got lots of shaking heads. Emily's looking. Emily reckons she could.
I reckon I could drive to the supermarket and buy a frozen packet and produce it. Does that count?
Short crust and pump. Struggle with choux. So we, even if we know what one is, which we now do, we don't necessarily know how we can mean we know how we can make it. So,
no, definitely not.
How can we make disciples? Well, the great news is, I think, is that we're disciples as well. We don't have to actually make this stuff of ourselves. We can follow Jesus' example. You see, both Jesus and Paul, they said, teach other people what I've already taught you. So actually one of the first ways we can think about, well, how do we make disciples, is think about, well, how was I made a disciple? Who's helping me be a disciple? Who was it that shared faith with me? Who is it that encourages me in my faith? Who, and what do they do for me? And do the same thing for other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Actually, the fact
Definitely.
Yeah? How can we do that for other people? And ultimately, we follow Jesus' example. So how did Jesus make disciples? Well, when we read through the accounts of Jesus' life, we find he lived a life of love and sacrifice. My notes are all over the place tonight. And that was how he made disciples. He talked about the reality of God the Father at work in his life. He prayed for people. He explained the Bible to them. He encouraged them in what they did well and challenged them when they were falling short. So actually, perhaps one of the ways we discover how to make disciples is to see how Jesus did it. It's just to read the Gospels a lot and just see what Jesus did and think, well, how can I do that for folk around me? So there's two things. There's for us to kind of reflect on, I think. One is, who in my life has helped me be a better disciple? And what did they do for me that I could do for other people? And what did Jesus do to make disciples? And how can I do that? None of that actually means that it's necessarily easy to do. But I don't think it's complicated either. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sarah says the Bible will help us to understand what we have to do with our ingredients.
It will.
I like that a lot.
And then
I was going to say, when you were talking about gardens, the way you learn is by doing. And I think that's the same thing with disciples. You have to be a disciple. You have to do to be.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely does. And then back to this slight cooking up metaphor. The other thing, we can put all the ingredients in the bowl and we can mix them all up correctly and all that kind of stuff. But then most things then have to go in the oven to be cooked.
Mm.
And actually there's a recognition that although Jesus told us to go and make disciples, he did it in the context of baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, the fact that God's at work. It's not just us. We're called to do and invited to do our bit, but actually however much we put the ingredients in, we stir them around, it's actually the Holy Spirit at work in people's lives. It's like the oven, without wanting to be too heretical, providing the heat and the energy and the lift and the movement and actually cooking. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Got so many analogies going on here.
Yeah.
Can I come up with another analogy?
So we need to remember also that we have our part to play, but actually it's the Holy Spirit at work in our own lives, which makes us better disciples and more faithful followers of Jesus. And that's what's going to do it in other people's lives as well. Just as a final thing, as a practical kind of thing about how this might work, there's a guy called Mark Green who written a book called Fruitfulness on the Front Line, which is all about how to live out our Christian lives in our workplaces and in our homes and all those kind of things. And in this thinking about discipleship, he talks about the six M's. There'll be a test next week. I'm going to ask you all what the six M's are, so I hope you're making notes. No, I'm being faces pulling at me. So there's modelling godly character, making good work, ministering grace and love, moulding culture, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and being a messenger for the gospel. So I think those last two are cheating so that you can get your six M's. But I quite like that, actually. That actually, if we can show people what it's like to be a disciple, the godly character thing, have integrity in ourselves, just be people who people respect and look to and think, oh, yeah, actually, the way they go about things is good. Doing good work, doing what we have to do and doing it well. And she says something about the God we follow. Doing things with grace and love and just kind of helping people out. And moulding culture in the places that we are, making them places that have gospel values, speaking up truth and justice for those who don't have those things. And what we talked about last week, being a messenger for the gospel, actually sharing our faith. And I think I've written my final comment down, I think echoes what something you said a couple of minutes ago, Lynn. But actually, when it all comes down to it, it seems to me that being a disciple makes disciples. Actually, as we follow Jesus, that will attract other people who will then want to follow Jesus. They kind of go together. We don't have to worry about it loads. If we kind of focus on our following Jesus, so other people will come to follow him. Being a disciple makes disciples.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
So that's kind of all I'd prepped. Any kind of initial reactions or thoughts or questions?
Yeah, I think I probably said this last week, actually. It's
oops, we've lost Lynn. Hope she comes back. Her internet's obviously died. Sorry, keep going, Sean. Yeah, you said something
last week. Yeah, and I was saying, I probably said it last week, it was about, when we go against the flow, I guess, the way of being different, and we are not joining in with stuff, you know, whatever that is, whether at work or at home or whatever, that is the attractiveness about us to other people, because that is a challenge. And they think, well, actually, why is that person not joining in? Why are they being kind? Why are they being, supportive? Or, you know, we talked about, helping neighbours and stuff like that, you know, that challenges people, because they think, well, actually, there's something different about them. And I like what's different about them. And I want to find out more. So I think, as you just said, I think that's what can disciple people, just being, you know, being different, you know, and not joining in with society in terms of, you know, what's going on.
I
was going to say, I think it's really important, though, when people notice those differences in you, to actually be able to say why you behave like that. And that's something that I'm sort of working on, if that makes sense. Yeah. So today I got the courage for the first time when somebody says, oh, you're always happy. I said, well, you know, I am happy because actually I believe in Christ and I'm saved. And that's the first time I've ever said that.
Wow.
If that makes sense to somebody who's not a Christian and in a work context. So we'll see. They took it very well, I have to say. I think it's important that we also explain why maybe we behave differently, and not just to model it, but also to have that message. I guess that's another end, isn't it, behind it?
Welcome back, Lily. All right.
Yeah. Apologies.
No, it's okay. I wonder if there's anybody particularly that you remember who discipled you, or an occurrence where somebody said something to you or showed you something that really helped you in your walk with Jesus.
Ooh, I was thinking about that when you were talking. I suppose going really, really right back to how I became a Christian. I was a troubled teen, I suppose, at the time. Didn't come from a Christian family, and I had sort of just friends who were Christians who kind of just talked to me and challenged me and said, read the Gospels. So I did. I read the Gospels all straight through. Like, and at the end, I thought, well, this Jesus guy, he was either a complete nutter or he was what he said he was. And that was the sort of the start of my faith journey, if you like.
Mm.
And then later on, there was a home group, and it wasn't a spiritual church, really, looking back. But this couple really were looking at them, and they sort of, you know, even now I can remember it. And it was when I was back in my teens, years and years and years ago. And they sort of, well, my first example of, oh, yes, Spirit's really with them.
Mm.
And lots of people over the years, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah. I was trying to think back as I was saying it over the, I grew up in a Christian household, so my mum and dad, I guess, the folk who primarily showed me Christian discipleship and what it meant to follow Jesus. I'm grateful to them for that. But over the year, youth ministers and vicars and various other people and friends as well. And that's not always comfortable. So I've had friends who've pulled me up on stuff and called me out on things. That's not always a comfortable conversation, is it?
No.
Or is it only just me? It's only me who's Adam.
No, definitely. I've had some conversations over the years. Creation's always a good one if somebody wants to start an argument with you. Fine.
But I what I was going to say earlier was my experience of discipleship was when I first became a Christian, the way that happened was this church that I walked into one day that I decided that I needed God, the vicar or minister came to me and said, he said, I can explain Jesus to you. And we spent about a month going through the Bible together, doing a study. Mm-hmm. And that's how I became a Christian, because he explained the Bible. And that was my discipleship, effectively. Mm-hmm. Because it was after that I became a Christian, because I understood, you know, what it was to be a disciple and how I needed to go on from that point. So I think for me, that was really important, because, you know, it made sense. That was my, basically that's my story of becoming a Christian, was the discipleship in that way.
That's great. So it was somebody who took the time to explain the Bible to you.
I got a couple of comments on the stream. Sarah says her top tip is to wear a Bible Message t-shirt. Lots of people want to talk to you about it. So that's her top tip. And I've seen several of hers, and they are very good. We can all testify to that. Elizabeth says, for me, I find my happy. God is great. God is great. Got over COVID-19 and ill over the weekend. My faith helped a lot. So that sounds like an answered prayer there. Okay. That's lovely. Yeah. And Liz says, it's not in our own strength. The Spirit works with us, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.
So
I guess that's the idea of the refining fire, which somebody else has mentioned on the comment stream as well. And you were talking about the oven. So that's a good point. We don't do it by ourselves, do we? God gives us those words in the right situations, in the right opportunities.
When you were talking about the cooking metaphor, I was also thinking, you also get the ingredients together and you put it in the fire to be tested. a part of that as well, that you can have all the ingredients, but you'll often be tested by fire. You will go, as Liz says, and be tried and tested, and you will go through hard times and dark times, and it tests your faith. You may even lose your faith, or you can't see it, and that's part of discipleship as well, I think. Yeah. Not a nice part.
No, you're right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I was reading a bit of James this morning, the first bit of James that says something very similar to that. So take it home. How do we do this with our young people and our families and our kids? Mm. How do we help our youngsters grow up as disciples? A couple of minutes.
I think, obviously, modelling behaviour. And talking to them and not encouraging a spirit that doesn't make them afraid to talk about God and be a Christian, if that makes sense, so they're outgoing about it. So I think that's quite important. I've got a young daughter, so for her at the moment it's about that, really. So
my kids are grown up now, but they grew up in the church, kids of a vicar. And they hated it as they grew up, as kids will. But even now, I don't think either of them would say they profess to be a Christian. But I look at them and I look at their contemporaries and I can see that they have retained those Christian values. You know, there'll be kids who will come and help their mom. They will open doors for people. They're polite. They don't swear. And you look at other kids their age and you think, I didn't do so badly after all. They've still retained those values that they were taught when they were little kids and they were brought up in the church. So I think, you know, you just keep praying for them, keep teaching
them. That's really important, isn't it, as well?
Prayer, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, because there's something about the parent-child relationship, that sometimes the last person a child, particularly going through teenage years, last person a child wants to listen to is their mum or dad.
Oh, yes.
So actually, continue to pray for them through those periods and trying to find other folk who they can listen to.
Definitely, yeah. My dad said to me that when I became a Christian, he said, you know, I've always prayed for you. I never gave up. And he was so pleased when I became a Christian because he wasn't able to communicate with me because we didn't get on that well. But what he's decided was that he would pray for me. And it obviously worked.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I think as well, like with some of my friendships and people who have been opened up to Christ that you wouldn't necessarily expect to. Certainly I think prayer in some ways has helped, but also I think it's not making the conversations too big if people aren't ready for that. So it can just be a small invitation to an event or something that's happening in the church, rather than trying to explain the entirety of the Bible to them and Christ Jesus and how he all died for us. You know, you can start with baby steps with people as well. And I think that's quite important. And I often find people will come to you when they want to ask these questions, you know, and just be open and ready for them, really.
It's a journey for everybody. Mm. And to go back to the garden thing, it's sowing the seeds. Some people will come to you later and say, somebody, you know, spoke to me 20 years ago, and you sow that seed, and you don't know, 10, 5, 10, 20 years, they could come to Christ. And you had a small part in it. You don't have to be the one that, you know, shares Jesus with them every time.
Yeah.
You don't know how small a part you might have played. You just, somebody explained it in the house group once, and I thought this was great, because you think about making disciples, and you think, what can I do? Who do I meet? And they said it was like ripples. You're the stone, and there are ripples. Mm. And so every person you meet in your day, be it the person at the bus stop, and this is especially true in lockdown when you meet so many people, so few people, sorry. You know, be it the person at the bus stop, person you pass on the shop or something, each of those is a ripple, you know, that you are, each person you meet, you can influence for good and for God. And you sometimes don't think of that. You just sort of blank all the people you're passing on the path.
So we're going to move on. We're going to have another piece of music in a minute, just for us to reflect to worship to. And perhaps just asking the Holy Spirit, will you put someone on my heart that I can do something for this week that will help them just move closer to being a follower of Jesus, or encourage them in their walk with Jesus? As we're listening to this, now here we go.
There's a grace where my heart is undefined. Another way when the walls are closing in. The space between where I used to be and this reckoning. No, I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in
another.
So we're going to have some time to pray now. Do join in on the stream. Emmy will read out some of your prayers if you put them on the comments stream. And we're going to follow this pattern we've been using over the last couple of weeks, this pause, rejoice, ask and yield as we pray together. So a moment of quiet as we pause. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and in our prayers, to calm our minds and to speak to us. Now an opportunity to rejoice, to praise God and to thank God. That's particularly for those people who have discipled you in your life. Father God, I thank you for my mum and dad who introduced me to you and discipled me in the early years of my life. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, God, for Sandy and Doug Hughes, my youth leaders.
Thank you, God, for Ian Meredith, my minister, that took the time to explain the Bible to me.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you work in our hearts and in other people's hearts as well, that it's not just down to us, but that you come with energy and power to help people follow you. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for the Alpha Course and for that way that we can engage and introduce people to you. And I just thank you for all those people that I've seen come to Christ through it and the influence it's had in our house. So I just thank you for that and its work in discipleship. I just thank you for Liz's friends and the impact that they've had on her life and over the years, much more with God. And Karen wants to say thank you for her parents and for the All Saints team and the influence they've had in her life.
Thank you, Lord, that it's by your Spirit that we are discipled, and it's not us. It's you doing it, working through us. Thank you, Lord. It's something that is open and available to all of us, Lord, and it's not something that's hard to attain. We thank you for that, Lord, freely, your Spirit.
Now we have the opportunity to ask God. Lord, would you help us? Help us to follow you faithfully as your disciples and show us how we can help others, please.
Lord, I just pray that you will sow those seeds through us this week, Lord, that you will give us the opportunity to share and model your love with others, and that if the opportunity arises, that you'll give us the words to share your message. Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord, especially at this time of the year, for those who are grieving, especially if they don't know Jesus as Lord, pray for families of those we know who have passed. I pray for my friend Sue Nicklin and her family, many, many friends. I pray that something of the light that we see may shine in their hearts. Amen.
Amen. Father, I pray that you give us boldness when we feel that we can't do it, when we see an opportunity, that that boldness would come from you, and that we would be pleasantly surprised that we did it, Lord, that we were able to say something, or we were able to care for somebody, or we were able to share your love in some way.
Yeah, Lord, we just pray that our hearts will be open to the needs of those around us. We pray for those that need comfort at this time in COVID-19, that you will open our eyes to them, and that we will be ambassadors for you. And that will allow them to draw closer to you, Lord.
Bring our prayers to a close by yielding, by saying yes to Jesus. Yes, we will follow you. Yes, we will be your disciples. And yes, we will make disciples. Amen.
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 Amen. We're very nearly at the end of our hour. An hour of power. I'm not sure. Can we claim that? Yeah, why not? Emily's pulling faces again. Emily, it's okay for video, folk on video, but not on the podcast.
I don't like whatever it was, the hour of power. No, it's not a good catchphrase. Check it out.
If there's that have come that you'd like to contribute to the conversation, either because you've been watching this evening, or you're watching back on YouTube or listening on the podcast and you'd like to email them to me at tim@allsaints-wallington.org. We've got some exciting things happening on All Saints Day this Sunday. For those of you who are physically local to Wellington, come and search out pumpkins in the churchyard from 4 o'clock. And look out for the lights of hope shining into the night sky on Sunday evening. Take a photo and post it on social media. A light of hope is going to be really good. So, final goodbyes from us. Lovely to have you with us. Lovely to have you out with us, Emmy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Bye to everyone.
Thanks for being with us, Sean. Good to see you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being with us as well. You're going to say goodbye, Lynn.
I am. Goodbye.
The two Ronnies?
It's goodbye for me.
Yeah.
All right. Farewell, everybody. See you next week.